Good evening and welcome to Around Cincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Tonight we'll be talking with Len Sternberg, major gifts specialist here at WVXU. And Len, in another life outside of WVXU, is a world traveler and a world music enthusiast. Welcome, Len.
Hi, Ron. Great to be here.
All right, brother. Good to have you here with us, too. Len, you've traveled a bit around the world checking out different kinds of music and culture. What got you interested in these travels?
I'm a lucky guy. This year is the 40th anniversary of a trip I took with a buddy. We traveled through England and Scotland, busked on the streets. And he went into a music career, worked at EMI Records, created the World Hemisphere label, which was all world music. He stayed with him for many years and was a very, very effective guy. So he now was organizing the Borneo World Music Festival and Exposition in Kuching, Borneo, Sarawak, Malaysia. And through Facebook, we connected. I've been wanting to go to Borneo my entire life. And he said, join us. Because of the trips I had done through the station, I was invited by the Malaysian Tourist Board to be a guest, to blog about the music festival, to blog about Borneo. And I did. And I had a great time, and it was really eye-opening.
So, Len, why don't you tell us kind of geographically so we can get a map in our head? Borneo, Malaysia, where are we on the globe?
Probably the easiest way to think about it is that it's about 500 miles south of Cambodia, Vietnam, that whole Southeast Asia peninsula. And it's across the South China Sea, and it's east of Singapore, which is the tip of the Malaysian peninsula. It was a 22-hour flight from Singapore to New York, and then you really have to wait almost a half a day to get another flight to Kuching from Singapore.
Oh,
wow. So it's far away.
Yeah, it is, brother, and I have a tip of the mic to you for hanging in there on that kind of air travel. So when we say World Music Festival, really, it just wasn't about indigenous music to Malaysia or Borneo. There was a lot of different groups there, right?
It was the world.
Yeah.
The Rainforest World Music Festival, I think, is its 16th year. And they had groups from the good old USA, from Louisiana, the Pine Leaf Boys, a Turkish group that's working out of Austria now, Alp Bora, a group from Australia, Indonesia, Netherlands, Iran. It was really fantastic. And it was an amalgam of their music, and sometimes they were playing folk music from other countries. So it was very impressive. 3 days, nights were solid music, and the days were fascinating workshops.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the workshops, and then tell us a bit about the music, particularly maybe some of the music from Borneo, Malaysia, some of the indigenous sounds you heard.
What was fascinating was that the Rainforest Music Festival is held in Sarawak Village. Sarawak Village is a model of the 9 types of longhouses that the indigenous tribes of Sarawak, Borneo live in. And these are longhouses. When I say long, they're like sometimes 200 yards long. The models weren't that long, but one that I had visited prior to the festival just went on and on. And it's a fascinating way of life. These workshops were in these models. So they were in thatched houses, wooden floors, palm frond roof and sides. And one workshop was of Ebon dance. Ebon is one of the major tribes of Sarawak and have a wonderful music and dance culture. And they had a group teaching, I'd say, about 200 people in the longhouse how to do an Ebon dance. And it was fascinating just watching hundreds of people do these arm and leg movements and combining them into ultimately a little dance. Another workshop, again, hundreds of people attending, was a dance competition between Australian Aborigine dances and South African tribal dances.
Wow.
And it was very, very powerful. And there was some dissension because it was felt that the South African dances, it was men and women, were being too suggestive because the Aborigine culture is a very modest culture. So was it appropriate?
Ah.
That being said, the crowd loved it, and ultimately the South African dances won. They had a more alive dance. But the Australian dances, I mean, very, very fascinating, and their connection to nature came through vividly.
Well, I bet you a connection to nature would be fairly replete through at least a lot of the indigenous music there, Malaysia, Borneo. I mean, people, at least tribes people, are very connected to the environment, right?
And the music, a lot of bamboo instruments.
Yeah.
There were 2 to 3, and I don't have the name, but it's a long bamboo tube that's basically a drum. It's a percussion instrument. And that would go along with gongs and the gamelan. The gamelan is the traditional Indonesian, Malaysian, Bornean instrument where it has a bell sound, but a deep bell sound, and very piercing. I mean, you could almost hear it through the jungle, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm a real fan of gamelan music. It has captivated me for years. So you got to hear it in the flesh.
In the flesh from very, very traditional players. And what's going on? And the Borneo World Music Exposition was really attacking this head on, was that they were creating culture for the area, for the people, because they have this music, but the music isn't really popularized. And the understanding is, if we could find really good groups that could travel, could go international, they get recognition, they bring revenue back into the country, into their community, and then there's a pride in the culture. Children begin to learn the music gets better, and they have something of their own, which they had before, but they didn't know what they had.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme, particularly in so-called third world countries, that younger people, whatever that age might be, seem in some ways to lose touch with the original culture.
Exactly. And the example that was given to me by a delegate, and I'll explain what the delegate is Cajun music. That Cajun music, and I remember this, in the early 70s, you began hearing zydeco. You only could hear it in parts of Louisiana before, and it became popular. And out of that, the whole Cajun zydeco tradition blossomed where it hadn't been before and became a part of Louisiana culture in a much more significant and ultimately economic way.
That's quite true.
And that's what they're hoping to do for many of these third world countries that haven't gotten the recognition, and their music is terrific. So these delegates are the buddy, Gerald Seligman, brings together 20, 25 people from all around the world who organize world music events in their cities. People from Australia, from London, from Jordan, from New York, from Los Angeles, and they basically auditioned these groups and were making decisions that they were going to bring Lin Yutang from Indonesia to L.A., and they would talk to them. Could they handle an audience? Could they answer questions? Was their music viable for a crowd of 800 people? Mm-hmm, could it come across? It was just great to see, and appreciating then that music would bring revenue and a better economy to a small community in Indonesia, in Sarawak, in Borneo. Great to see. Great to experience.
So, Len, anybody that's hearing us talk this evening, I'm sure is getting the idea that you feel very strongly that there is a real link between cultures that music can help bridge and bring people together in a common humanity?
Music could do things that language can't. It bridges gaps. It connects people. It brings out love in people. And it really is a successful formula for people to come together. And world music helps, I think, make the world a better place. We should all listen to world music more. As you listen, you begin to get an understanding of another culture when you have no idea even what that culture is, where they're from. But the music speaks to you. And it's certainly worth listening to and getting into.
Yeah, certainly we know that the world is getting smaller in a way that we're able to communicate and have access to different cultures. The internet, of course, playing a major role in this. So your experience of being with people one-on-one right there, you know, in Borneo, Malaysia, sounds like that vibration of love and people coming together through understanding of culture is a real driving force with you.
It is. There's an excitement to meeting people, and that excitement is amplified when you have music behind it. And there's an immediate link because you could comment about the music, you could express your appreciation, and you begin to raise questions. When did you learn how to play? Who plays in the village? When did you first hear it? How do you think people react when you play? And so it's a great way just to sit down and talk with people and gives people things to do that aren't threatening. It's enjoyable.
Thanks for being with us this evening, Len.
Ron, thank you. Great to be here.
All right. Our guest this evening on Around Cincinnati has been Len Sternberg. And more information about Len's travels can be found at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ron Esposito.